Broadcasting from the business capital of the world, this is the Podcast Business News Network.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. We're going to talk about holistic healing today, among other things, and that's with somebody who is an ancient wisdom energy healer. She's a transitions coach. She's a ceremonialist and so much more. Andrea Dragonfly joins us again. Hi, Andrea. How are you doing?
Hi, Steve. I'm doing well.
It's great to have you back on here. Last time we dug pretty deep into a lot of different things. We never really hit up holistic health so much. Before we go anywhere with that, how would you define holistic health for somebody that doesn't know?
Yes, I think that we've really come a long way in the last few decades, at least, in understanding how when we're experiencing something, maybe a physical health ailment, a disease within the body, that it's far more than just what's happening on a physical level. And I think that this is becoming more popular as an idea, as a concept, and people are beginning to start to see more as to how there's many factors that play out in how we get sick. So what I'd like to just kind of like clarify or to kind of dive a little bit deeper into is really looking at the four energy bodies. Because when we start to understand how each one of these are operating together, then we begin to understand that, yes, it's not just what's happening on a physical level. It's happening throughout our whole energy field. And so, of course, we start to recognize that something is happening on a physical level. Like, oh, I have this type of, you know, I have this symptom. And the symptom is then going to take us to the hospital, not to the hospital, but to the doctor. We'll continue to see what's happening on the physical level, on the physiological level. But when we look at the holistic healing, we're really looking at the whole individual, the whole energy field as well. And so we also look at how we have our emotional and our mental bodies that are contributing to what is happening within the physical. And so we even have a lot more of this information that has shown up even just through neuroscience and how our mindsets can affect our health as well. And so with the emotional and the mindset, and so how we feel, and I did touch a little bit about this last week, but I wanted to dive a little bit more because, you know, it seems like this is an important piece to energy healing and really understanding the depths of how this works. And so when we have a certain emotion that is rising up within us, it can certainly affect how we're thinking about it. Like, oh, my feelings are hurt. Oh, my mindset is this is wrong, this is bad, this is, you know, something that's going to hold me into this place of like, ooh, I need to protect myself. And then also when we have some sort of concept or some sort of situation that might be present to us and how we feel about that, how that shows up for us, and maybe it triggers an internal wound that we're not even familiar that we have, but like, oh, that's wrong, that's bad, I don't like that. of course, we have, you know, that's an important part for us to recognize, how for us to navigate, but it can also create how we feel about that. So mind and heart energy are working really together, and so we also see them as an energy body within itself, and a lot of times, if we feel wounded or we feel hurt or a heart wound or betrayal, that type of thing, it can eventually lead to some heart problems down the way on a physical level. If we have the need or desire that we, you know, for controlling our environment, controlling our situation, it can also lead to autoimmune disorders or can lead to areas within our whole, you know, within our body that where we begin to lose control in certain parts of our physical experience to life. But we also have another body that even surrounds that. It's a little bit greater. So if we think about it in concentric circles, like the very center of it is the physical. And then we have another circle around that, which is how we feel and think about certain things. So it's more of our psychology, more of our experience. But then around that, we also have what's called the soul body. And the soul is also very interesting because a lot of different, you know, even to be able to describe the soul, a lot of different areas of whether it's even religious studies or even if it's in psychology, sometimes there's a lot of different types of definitions for what is the soul. Many people are confused about what that is. And through, I'm going to give a generalized kind of definition for that, because I've studied from North and South America indigenous traditions as well as European indigenous traditions, as well as have a pretty good basis of Eastern philosophies, I'm just going to kind of bring this together. And of course, you're going to find different definitions or different ideas of what this is. But this is the one that I feel is most resonant when I combine these different traditions, these wisdom traditions, is that the soul is our navigation device. It's that part of us that brings us towards the things that we really want and desire for ourselves. So it's also known as the synthesis, is where we are drawn in to what brings us joy, what brings us happiness, what inspires us and really leads us into these different paths of where we want to go in life, right? So whether that is within... And of course, that also plays out in how we feel and think. So it's the greater piece that actually connects us to how we see and experience the world. And so it also can show us what we don't like. If a person was raised in an environment that really didn't allow them to be nurtured in their own individuality, and they're like, well, I'm going to raise my children different. Or if they were raised in, experiences of abuse or trauma, they're like, I'm going to do things differently this way, and I'm going to move out. And we know that is a part of us that our soul is saying, this doesn't feel right. What does feel right? And so it's that navigation device that brings us into these different walks in life or introduces us to these different paths for us to walk. It's the stepping stones for people who are not quite clear on their career when they're in their 20s. And it's that following the soul, this feels good, this feels interesting, this feels right, and we move ourselves in that direction, or we move ourselves away from that. Or the people who are, catty or not being very nice to you, you don't want to hang out with those people. Your soul's like, go find the people that are going to accept and love you for who you are. So the soul is that navigation device between what feels right for you and what doesn't feel right for you.
Would you say, Andrea, that the soul body, or just call it the soul, is really your compass for navigating life in general?
Yes, absolutely. Mm. And so I'm kind of going backwards. I'm going from our very physical experience to our emotional, mental experience. So the soul experience, because most people don't even know they don't know that the soul is that piece that's driving them to go where they're going, right? So it's that almost unknown. And of course, many people are certainly aware of this at this time. This has become a popular understanding now as we're growing ourselves and evolving ourselves in our humanness. But even above that, beyond our soul, we have our spirit. And the spirit is that true essence of who we are. It's the spark of life. It's the breath that we breathe. It's our essence of who we came into this human body to be. And it also has the, we also hear about astrology, and astrology hasn't always had the best reputation over, the millennia, for sure, But what's interesting is the astrology is the blueprint of what we really come into our lifetime to experience. And so it really kind of helps us navigate on a much larger level. And of course we have, free will and we make these choices, but it's the spark of life that brings us into these human bodies. And then the soul is that part of us that navigates us to go into these different directions towards that which makes us feel good. Or sometimes we have to go towards that which doesn't make us feel good in order for us to find out what does feel good. And there's sometimes, there's something that's called soul sickness. And when a person just lacks luster for life or has no, joy or has no feeling of like, I don't have an experience to life that has anything positive in it, you know? So there's many people in the world that are going through something called soul sickness. And part of that is a loss of connection and a loss of relationship to the world around them. And so a lot of the energy work can help people get back on track, can help them find what is it that really inspires them, that drives them, that brings them into the beauty of life, because we are gifted with this beautiful life, and we certainly have our challenges, and the soul is that part of us, that vehicle that navigates us through them. And if we have soul sickness and that navigation device isn't working, then of course we get thrown off track and we just get stuck into this place where our mindset and our emotions just start to feel the stress, feel the worry, the doubt, the fears, the anger, the apathy of, you know, I'm at the effect of my life, and it can really take a person down a certain life path that's very unsatisfying, unfulfilling. And then those also can create different types of ailments and diseases within the physical body. And so this is a very brief introduction to looking at the whole body, so that when a person who's doing energy healing like myself is coming in, we're looking at how all of these bodies are connected. They're a whole, and they're interplaying with one another, and each one of them will give us very specific information within the energy field as to how to even navigate as the energy healer to see where we're going to go and what is most important for us to work with.
So I want to go back just for a second to the soul, and well, two thoughts that I have there. Would you say when you have a gut feeling, that is really essentially your soul body?
The soul, yes, I would say that coming from the soul body. And it's also, we can say, intuition.
Mm.
And that is a little bit different, but it is within the realm of the soul. So sometimes we can also have, you know, this inner knowing that says, oh, yeah, that gut intuition that says, this isn't right for me, or don't take this job if you're getting this, you know, opportunity, and you have this gut, you know, reflex that says, yeah, no, this isn't the right one for me. And so it comes from the soul realm for sure. But it also can be this part of us where we're connected to our intuition, but also we're connected to energy. It's our allies. It's almost like we have these wonderful energy allies that are there helping navigate us. And so if we know what we really want, which lives within the soul, I know what I want for myself. This is what I aspire. And if I take this position that's being offered to me, it's not going to give me exactly what I'm looking for. So maybe I need to wait it out and wait for the right one to come to me. And so there is almost like we have this team of energy allies that are also saying, yeah, that's good. Maybe you might make more money in that new position, but it's going to cost you a lot of your own mental wellness being in that position. And that's not really what you're looking for. You're looking for maybe this other job that's coming down the road for you that you just need to hang out a little bit longer for. Because when you align with what you really want for yourself, that is the soul speaking to you. And when we are fully following that, even sometimes when it's scary to do that, it will always pay off, because we are living in the higher vibration of what we truly desire. And so this even leads into all sorts of other conversations about how we, you know, create our reality, and we are manifesting our dreams into reality, which is we really hold the higher energy, the vibration for, I want to be able to be seen for all of my gifts and talents. I want to be able to use all of my education and what I've developed myself to be in life. I want to be valued. I want to be treated well. I want to treat others well as well. If I want to be treated well, I need to treat others well too. Because like energy attracts like energy. So when we really hold on to those higher levels of energy for ourselves, that's where the soul takes us. Is that, and even so, and we're going to also kind of get into a little bit more about you know, ancestors and our and karma and family, and that time will come, however that conversation wants to unfold.
Sure.
But even when, you know, a young, you know, teenager is preparing for college and they're trying to figure out, who do I want to be? And, you know, maybe a person's really interested in being some sort of artist, or they want to be, you know, around people. They want to be in a teacher. And this is, you know, when you're 17, 18 years old, and your parents are like, no, we want you to be the doctor. We want you to be the lawyer. We want you to get into business school. We want you to do, we want more for you. And of course, those absolutely bring, you know, more money to the family, more, you know, you have more freedom to be able to have a better job and get paid more for your education, for your knowledge, for your service to the world. But at the same time, there's a part of that soul that gets like, wounded. And it's like, oh, but I really just wanted to be this artist, or I really wanted to be an actor, or I really wanted to be a musician, but my family is pushing me to this direction. And so, of course, there's a lot of different types of scenarios that can unfold from that, but being able to hold on to that soul piece, that joy, you know, whether that person actually chooses to go the route that their family wants them to go, or they choose their own route that creates more of a balance within the family dynamic and their education forward, really it's holding on to that soul piece of, this brings me joy. And no matter what, if I'm going to become a doctor, I need to make sure that I'm playing music along the way, if music is also my passion. Or I need to make sure that I am also being creative in this other type of area so that I can really keep my soul healthy. But it's those times that we make those decisions that say, no, I can't do that, I have to do this, is when we start to experience what becomes soul loss. And it can, over time, if we never bring those pieces back to us, then we go down a life path where we're less inspired, because the inspiration that came to us a long time ago, we kind of just shunned it, or we said, no, I can't have that. And
We have a question regarding the soul. We're going to take a very short break and come right back. I want to ask you, Andrea, with Dragonfly Passages, how does somebody reach out to you?
Yes. I can be emailed at dragonflypassages@gmail.com at the moment. I am working on getting my website up and running. That will be coming up very soon. I'll be doing a series of these conversations with Steve, and so hopefully that will be up and running in the near future, in the next few weeks. And so there is just the email that is available for access at this time. And again, that's dragonflypassages with an S @gmail.com.
Excellent. So we're going to take that very short break, come back with a question, and then we're going to talk about something called genetic code, which can have a very strong impact on you. Hang on, we'll be right back.
Celebrating Bubby's 70th birthday. Eli. 7 months after her birthday. Saying I don't to more postponements, and I do to each other. That life-changing vacation, just a little later in life, and the taste of some home cooking that's been simmering for months.
Sorry, I think this one's mine.
Oh, my bad.
For all the things that you've been looking forward to getting back to, we've got a plane for that. Visit JetBlue.com for everyday low fares.
Hey, welcome to Everything Outdoors. Can I help you find anything?
Hey, yeah. Can you point us to the camping gear?
Sure, aisle two.
Snowboarding?
Just bought a new Nissan Pathfinder. It's got intelligent 4x4, and we want to hit the backcountry.
Aisle 18.
And the boats?
Are you sure you can do all this?
Up to 6,000 pounds towing, we're good to go. Oh, where's the scuba gear?
Return to rugged in the all-new 2022 Nissan Pathfinder. Available intelligent 4x4 cannot prevent collisions or provide enhanced traction in all conditions. Always monitor traffic and weather conditions. Towing capability varies by configuration. See Nissan Owner's Manual for proper use.
Is that the sound of an ooey gooey cheesy crunchy slice of pizza? Obviously. But as good as that sounds, we think it can get even better. Oh yeah, that's the sound of a freshly opened fizz-filled Pepsi. The only thing that can take this flavor medley of crunchy dough, mouth-watering cheese, and savory sauce to the next level. How about another bite? Pepsi and pizza sound like a match made in heaven and taste even better. Pizza, better with Pepsi. That's what I like.
With no fees or minimums on checking and savings accounts, banking with Capital One is like the easiest decision in the history of decisions. Kind of like choosing Charles Barkley in a pickup game.
We'll take Barkley.
Ha! First pick! Sorry, kids!
Yep, even easier than that. And with our top-rated app, you can bank anytime, anywhere, making Capital One an even easier decision.
Okay, here's the plan. Pass me the ball every time.
This is banking reimagined. What's in your wallet?
New consumer accounts only. Approval required. Terms apply. Capital One N.A. member FDIC.
Broadcasting from the business capital of the world, this is the Podcast Business News Network.
And we are back talking with Ancient Wisdom Energy Healer. She's a transitions coach. She's a ceremonialist and does so much more to help people feel better and move along on their journey. It's Andrea Dragonfly from Dragonfly Passages. And checking in with a question is Jim, who is in Clearwater, Florida. He says that you mentioned that when someone's soul is complacent and they're overly uninspired, is that also considered depression?
Yes, absolutely. Well, there's actually different ways that we can see this. And so depression, in the way that we can view it, is where something has happened in the past that we haven't quite fully healed or we haven't worked through in the present. And it keeps bringing us back to this place. And sometimes we may not even know what that is. And sometimes we may know exactly what it is. It could be a trauma that had happened. It could be some sort of experience or reoccurring experience throughout life. And when we do have traumas that they have put us into a pretty intense situation, we can also experience something called a soul loss. And so this is exactly this scenario of where the soul is out of balance because something had occurred. And it can happen in this lifetime. Sometimes it can happen where we don't even remember it. Sometimes people don't have a very clear memory of their childhood. Some different types of traumas or experiences, different types of abuses can shut down the memory of what had happened, but we are living with the energetic imprint throughout our life, and it absolutely can dictate how we experience life. If we're not feeling inspired or we don't have a deeper sense of awe or joy or passion for the life we're living, then something's there. And so it's like, what is that? Where did that come from? And it absolutely can be, depression can absolutely be an experience because of what has happened. And looking at how the life course, where did that depression start to really kind of come up? How long has a person been holding on to a certain type of situation? And, you know, and depression can be so many different things. And that's why, like, every human being is just such a unique combination of energy and how we experience certain things. It could be witnessing a very, you know, horrific experience, or it could be, you know, being at the effect of a very horrific experience. And these are the pieces that really wound the soul, that hold us back from, you know, achieving that higher state of, you know, experience of joy or satisfaction.
And I'm a big believer in that. I think a lot of it, and I'm pretty sure it's been scientifically proven that much of what we deal with as adults came from our childhood between 0 and 7, and sometimes between 7 and 14. And sometimes you need to analyze that and figure out what's going on there to figure out why you are the way you are now. We have just a couple of minutes left. Genetic code. You've mentioned that before. What is genetic code?
Yes. Well, when we have our energy field, it's definitely made up. There's a lot of imprints that are put into our energy field. And so one of them would be our genetic code, like our DNA. And, of course, with our DNA, we have our physical traits. We have our eye color, our hair color, our body type. We can have our, you know, the shape of our nose. And she looks like her father. She looks like her mother, you know, et cetera. But we also have within our genetic coding is all of the experiences of our family lineage, which could also, and this is going to be a beautiful conversation for us to really kind of dive into next week if we're limited in our time today, because within our genetic code, this is where behaviors and traits and emotions are passed down through the lineage. And this could be certain types of beliefs, for sure, so that, you know, you come from a family that has very strong beliefs, and they're like, you have to be within this belief, and if you're not in that, if you don't follow the belief of the family lineage, then we're not going to accept you in the same way as if you do believe in that belief, right? And so beliefs are huge, because we can also, it's how families and lineages believe, you know, how they feel about other cultures, other different types of people, you know, races and nationalities. And so beliefs are a very strong genetic karma that is passed down. And it's really up to the individual to say, is this belief right for me? Or is it just what I've been taught throughout my life? And that I believe it because I've been told to believe it. Or does this belief really feel true to me? Does it resonate on a level that actually says, yes, this is something that I believe in? And I think this is a really big question for most people globally right now, is like, especially with this, you know, whole information war that we've been going through, is what is true? What is right? What is the greater truth? Because we have to feel it in our body. We have to resonate and say, you know what, that feels right. Or, you know what, there's something not right about that. And I don't know what it is right now. Maybe I have to do a little bit more digging or research on that to find out what is right for me. And so this can be, you know, any kind of belief around, you know, anything that's coming our way. But also within our ancestral line or lineage karma, we can also have different behaviors or different, you know, abuses, whether it's physical violence that's been carried down through a certain family lineage. It could be the matrilineal line or the patrilineal line. Matrilineal line is the mother's line. Patrilineal line is the father's line. So we have abuses, which can be anything from physical. It can be emotional, mental, sexual, financial, you know. So those are all very powerful energies that can come through the lineage that end up in us. And then we can pass that on to our own children, and then they can pass it on to their children's children if we don't know how to clear it out of our field. We also have different types of behaviors like addictions. And these addictions can be anything, right? Alcohol, drugs, gambling, sugar, food, sex. It can be all sorts of different things. And so being able to know that these imprints may be coming down from one side or the other, and oftentimes we get some stuff from our father's line and we get some stuff from our mother's line, and then we are the combination of that. And they, you know, maybe our parents were also a combination of different types of things. And so it's about us being able to recognize, what is this? Where is this coming from? I see this as a pattern within the family, and I no longer want to carry this forward. I don't want my children to have this. Or maybe it's a person who is very mild in nature and who's at the effect of a more dominant nature partner, you know, where they're, and so this comes back to the abuses, the emotional, the mental abuse, where, you know, they're taken advantage of regularly. And so when we clear this, we clear it for ourselves, and we clear it so that we're not actually drawn to find a partner to perpetuate the karma for ourselves.
And this is so classic. And unfortunately, we're out of time. I don't want to stop, because this is like pinnacle for most relationships that people are in, no matter what kind of relationship it is. And we didn't even get to karma. So that's that's next on the list. Andrea, again, you're waiting on the website, but your email address is dragonflypassages@gmail.com, right? dragonflypassages@gmail.com.
That's correct. Yes.
Fascinating talking with you today, and so much detail, but so relatable and so important for our lives. Once we, once we crack the genetic code, we can move forward with our lives and have the answers as to why we are the way we are.
Yes. Exactly.
Well, thanks for helping us crack the code. I'm looking forward to getting together with you again next time. Thank you so much.
You got it. Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure.
You too. We'll be right back.
Okay.
Broadcasting from the business capital of the world, this is the Podcast Business News Network.
Let's go inside the mind of a 10-year-old.
I should have worn those earrings today. I like those earrings. Gabby has those awesome earrings. I need to ask her where she got those, but that's just what she would want me to do. I'll have Michaela ask her for me.
Buckle up, Sarah.
Yeah, but then Michaela will be like, why don't you just ask her yourself? That's just like Michaela.
Sarah, buckle up.
Michaela's such a great name. I wish I was called Michaela. There's like a dozen Sarahs in my class.
Hey, we're not hitting the road until you buckle up, honey.
Oh yeah, seatbelt. I forget sometimes because my brain is like busy, you know?